With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic! What is going on, Orlando Magic fans? The date is January 13th, 2021. My name is Jonathan Osborne. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia.
You drew out the what's going on, Orlando Magic fans, and it really kind of threw me off here to start. But what are you sipping on over there?
Sipping on some green tea. Mm. Not sipping on gin and juice.
No, just
some green tea with some lemon and some honey. You guys have heard my voice has been kind of in and out the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to get it right. And I got a 3-year-old that just doesn't listen. So I've been having to unfortunately yell recently, and I don't like doing that. Nobody likes yelling at their kids. But tonight I told my wife before the game started, I was like, I gotta have a few, cups of hot tea and, soothe the larynx. And then my toddler's getting out of bed 17 times in the first quarter. So
yeah, not
rough
good.
First quarter for me tonight. We'll talk about that in a bit, but yeah.
So Why are we here, Jonathan? Are we here talking Orlando Magic basketball? Tell the listeners what's going on.
So yeah, part of the reason that I drew out the what's going on, Orlando Magic fans, is because recently when we've recorded later in the week like this, it's been for a Shoot the Shot. So we had the idea earlier in the year, pretty much to in the preseason before the regular season started, that we were going to start a show that we were going to release on Fridays. That would be more focused, around the NBA. We're just trying to, spice things up a bit, switch it up. The Magic haven't been that great and kind of gave us a excuse to talk about other things that we, wanted to talk about each week. We talked about, some college football, some NFL, betting and stuff like that, which was, kind of fun. But, it just didn't really turn out the way that, we wanted it to. We didn't get the kind of engagement that we wanted and everything like that. And sometimes when you're putting out content, you try things and see if they work, and sometimes they don't work. And I think, especially for me and Luke, the NBA isn't really what we're passionate about. The Orlando Magic are what we're passionate about, and the community and the listenership that we've created over the last, it'll be 3 years next month, holy crap. Mm. But, it's Magic fans, and that's what, we like to talk about. So, we put a poll out on Twitter and Instagram to see if fans, just want one longer show each week, or if they want two kind of shorter episodes where we talk about, the Magic twice a week. And it was 60% of everyone that voted. We had over 200 votes in total. And 60% of people wanted us to, try two shows a week. So we are giving it a shot here, Luke.
So first of all, shout out to the people that do NBA shows, and they only do NBA shows, right? Or they just cover a broad sport. Because that's tough. I mean, like you said, we didn't see the engagement that we would have hoped for comparatively to what we see with, when we do Magic content. Obviously, like you said, we kind of curated this, culture of Orlando Magic fans that what listen to the podcast. That's kind of what it was built on. But shout out to those guys that do those kind of broad sport podcasts, because that's a competitive market and something that we learned, quickly when we did Shoot the Shot. So a lot of respect for those people. Second thing here. When you're talking about the polls, right, you said we can do one longer show or we can do two shorter episodes. The people who voted for two shorter episodes are the ones that know us best, I think, Jonathan, because they know we're not probably going to go shorter than 30 minutes. And so they know it. They'll probably get a 45-minute episode and a 30-minute episode, or who am I kidding? They might get two 45s a week now instead of just one
hour. They might
get
an hour in a 45-minute show, depending on what happens during the week.
I think y'all are getting more from us doing this two times a week. It's not like we're going to literally cut our normal show in half. We can't stop ourselves from talking half the time. So,
and just to give you guys kind of like a peek behind the veil or behind the curtain, you know, Luke and I both have, you know, wife and kids and family, and, you know, Kevin does, and we all have busy lives. And we get on here every week and we're like, hey guys, let's try to keep this one a little bit shorter this week. And we look up at the timer and we've gone like an hour, you know, hour and 10 minutes. So,
yeah,
I mean, it is what it is. But first of all, you know, just really appreciate everyone that listens and checks out the show, you know, whether it's every week or just kind of now and then. Really, really appreciate it. So, yeah. So going forward, we're going to release two, you know, Magic episodes a week. Still going to have, you know, the Monday show, and then we'll have the Thursday show. So basically the Thursday show will be the games that have happened, you know, either Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And then the Monday show will be the games that happened like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday. So we didn't want to go back to like the Monday and Friday because like Friday to, you know, Monday, sometimes you're only going to get one game in there or whatever. So, but yeah, hopefully you guys will enjoy this. So a couple of just housekeeping things that we wanted to take care of really quickly. Wanted to go over that and then want to shout out all of our wonderful patrons. So if you guys don't know, we do have a Patreon where we have three separate tiers that you can become a member and get some pretty awesome benefits. We just did a Orlando Magic Jeopardy episode exclusive to our patrons.
So
if you guys want to check that out, it was a lot of fun. It wasn't as fun as you know, I might have liked it to be. We won't talk about that, but yeah, if you guys want to check out our Jeopardy episode and future Patreon exclusive episodes, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. And every week we shout out all of our patrons. So that's what we're going to do now. Special shout out to Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, welcome back. Norm L, Magic Player History, and G. Ulio. Really, really appreciate your guys' support. You help support the show and let us do what we love to do. So really, really appreciate that.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Luke, before we get into the game, you might notice I did not shave before this. I'm getting my hair cut tomorrow. Every time I get my hair cut, my barber says, hey, man, like I try to get you in and out as quick as I can. if you can just, you know, shave a little bit, because I have sensitive skin anyways. When he hits me with the machine shaver, I get all kinds of razor bumps and all that. So I was going to shave before we came on here, but the Wizards game tonight just made me feel, this is how I feel. Like, I look the way that I feel right now, like crap.
Caveman.
Because of that game. I don't know about that, but, you know, I can't really grow much facial hair. So, you know, it's patchy. It's, you know,
me either.
It's thin. You know, it is what it is. We're, you know, out here just trying to survive. So don't hate. All right, Luke, let's talk some Magic news. So really, big piece of Magic news. So 2 days ago, so Monday, it was announced that Orlando Magic President of Basketball Operations, Jeff Weltman, and Orlando Magic General Manager, John Hammond, both received extensions of their contracts through the 2025-2026 season. So that's like another four seasons after this one. So, Luke, what do you think of, you know, the extension, 4 years, and, yeah, how do you feel about it?
I mean, it is the best we've had the last, you know, decade here, basically. And I well-deserved from them, right? We've done a deep dive in the offseason on kind of the front office, the role that they've played, and the, you know, the things that they've hit, the things that maybe they've missed on. And a lot of the things that they, you know, the spoiler alert here is that they've hit a lot more than they've missed. What the only thing as of late that we're critical of with them is transparency. And that's it. In terms of, you know, finding hidden gems, you find Franz Wagner, which was ridiculous. You find Cole Anthony at 15, which is starting to obviously become very obvious that was a win, as we went over in the last episode. There's not that many guys in that draft that are better than Cole Anthony. So I think that they draft very well. I think that they don't lose trades. I think that this extension was well-deserved.
So I just want to recap really briefly. We don't have to go into a huge, long thing, but 2017, you know, I think it was May of 2017, John and Jeff get hired, you know, after I think it was 7 years of Rob Hennigan. And so your coach, Frank Vogel, you know, you've got kind of a mishmash roster. You know, they draft a rookie, Jonathan Isaac, but you've got guys like Mario Hezonja, Aaron Gordon, Evan Fournier, Elfrid Payton, Nikola Vucevic, Bismack Biyombo, a bunch of these guys that were kind of left over from the previous regime. So the first couple of years, John and Jeff really took the approach of, we need to sit and kind of evaluate what we have. And then at that point, they needed to start to, you know, kind of like clean up that mess, if you will. So that following offseason, they ended up trading Bismack Biyombo away. I believe that was when they ended up getting Timofey Mozgov, which they actually later ended up waiving and stretching his contract. He actually never played for the Magic. It was just always, you know, in the suit street clothes. That trade also brought Jerry and Grant to Orlando. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Really, the goal of that was to get off of, you know, Bismack Biyombo's contract. But then that season, the 2018-2019 season, you know, the Magic go on and make the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. Drafted, you know, rookie Mo Bamba that season. Before the season had started, injury, you know, plagued, you know, rookie year. So basically, when John and Jeff came in, they were given a mandate from ownership of, we need to try to get back into the playoffs as soon as we can. And in their second season, you know, they make the change from Frank Vogel to Steve Clifford, and you go 42-40, 22-9 over the last 31 games, and you make the playoffs. After that, they're like, okay, you know, let's see if this team can even take the next step. So you basically essentially just run it back. You re-sign Nikola Vucevic. You re-sign Terrence Ross that summer. It's shortened season because of COVID and everything like that. But you end up 33-40 on the season, good enough for eighth in the Eastern Conference. You lose to the Milwaukee Bucks in five, just like you did the Raptors the year before. Then we go into last season, the 2020-2021 season. You draft Cole Anthony. You have Chuma Okeke, you know, make his debut. And everything just falls apart in terms of injuries and health. Jonathan Isaac tears his ACL in the bubble. I think it was 8 games into the season. Markel Fultz tears his ACL. We have Cole Anthony that has a broken rib or a fractured rib, cracked rib, whatever it was. Terrence Ross, back issues the entire season. Aaron Gordon misses a bunch of time with a sprained ankle. And then at the trade deadline, you end up moving Nikola Vucevic, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon. In return, you get Wendell Carter, the pick from the Bulls, which turns into Franz Wagner, looking like a great pick. You get Gary Harris back from the Nuggets. You get another first-round pick from them, another first-round pick for the Bulls. You get RJ Hampton. And, yeah, now we kind of are where we are. You draft Jalen Suggs with the fifth pick. If you look at kind of what they were asked to do, Luke, when they first came in and the hand that they were dealt, they really haven't missed much. You can talk, you know, the Jonathan Simmons, deal wasn't, I mean, he was just bad. It wasn't a bad deal, but he just sucked. He's out of the league now, but they turned that into Markel Fultz. Forgot to mention that. But for what they were dealt and what they were asked to do by management and the way that they've pivoted from that win now mode to like this rebuild, which we all seem, you know, really optimistic about, they've done about as good of a job as you could ask. Like, they've knocked it out of the park. Sorry to go on so long.
No, you're fine. So I wanted to kind of hop in the time capsule here, Jonathan, and go back to the day that Weltman was hired. There's actually an article written by our boy Josh Robbins, who was with the Orlando Sentinel at the time. Shout out Josh, now covering Washington, D.C. and the Wizards. So kind of looking at this article, which was published here May 22nd of 2017. Crazy it was that long ago, by the way. He goes on to say that, you know, at the NBA draft combine earlier this month, several NBA executives praised Weltman for his eye for identifying talent. But the vast majority of league insiders expected the Magic to hire a big name for their president of basketball operations position. Those same insiders assumed the team would hire Cleveland Cavaliers general manager David Griffin or Milwaukee Bucks general manager John Hammond. And then we ended up getting both. I mean, we got, you know, him and John Hammond. And it goes on to say in the article
Jeff
here,
and John. We didn't,
Jeff and John.
Thankfully, we didn't end up with old Griff.
Not Griff. But yeah, and I mean that's, and then one of the, they said that like in hiring the GM, one of the potential candidates was Matt Lloyd, who we obviously know Matt Lloyd. So that's kind of interesting, kind of how that all unfolded, where, you know, guys were, execs were saying, yeah, we think that John Hammond could get the job. And then Weltman ends up hiring him as his right-hand man. And so you still get him. And everyone at the draft combine was saying that he's got a very good eye for talent in terms of Weltman when it comes to the draft, which we've seen so far that he's got a pretty good eye there. Hits a pretty good percentage with those guys. And he was under, you know, Masai Ujiri in Toronto for a few years. And they made the playoffs all those years, which the article talks about. And how, you know, Ujiri was the final decider, but Weltman had a huge hand in the decisions that were made and the people that were drafted and all that kind of stuff. So pretty crazy to kind of unpack everything that happened basically 5 years ago. What is 2017, like I said? So
five years.
So pretty cool to look back on that and kind of see where Weltman has hit. You just got to think that the time's coming and the reason, you know, there's a reason they got that extension. They know that they need a little bit more time.
I mean, like, the pedigree of these guys is pretty hard to deny. If you look back at the last 4 years, you know, two of those NBA champions, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, John and Jeff both had huge hands in drafting and developing those teams. Right. John and Jeff in Milwaukee drafted Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you go to Toronto, you know, they've got guys there like, you know, Fred VanVleet, and I don't know if Jeff was there when they drafted Pascal Siakam, but they've been putting together a really good team in Toronto for years there, and Jeff, who was the assistant GM at the time, was responsible for helping put that team together. So these guys know how to build a winner. They came into Orlando, turned things around really quickly, made the playoffs, you know, two straight years after 7 years of missing the playoffs. And they decided to go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I looked it up myself here. Siakam was drafted 2016 at pick number 27. So
there we
not
go.
Too bad for the 27th pick in the NBA draft that year.
Second best player on the title. You know, winner, in 2019. So, there we go. It just goes to show you these guys know what they're doing. I think we all kind of agree they made the right decision in kind of retooling or, you know, starting the rebuild. And in terms of like rebuilding, this team is, you know, in the first year of a rebuild, this is usually what a team looks like in, you know, like year three or four of a rebuild. So they're doing pretty well. So congrats to John and Jeff. Really happy about the extensions. And let's hope the next extension we're talking about comes after Larry O'Brien in downtown Orlando. All right, Luke, some more Magic news on the week. So Adam Shadoff on Monday at 1:30, not long after Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out that Orlando Magic extended John and Jeff, he quote tweeted Woj and said, "A league force confirms this to me. Formal announcement coming later this week. I'm also told Suggs, Fultz, and Isaac will return in the quotations not too distant future." Later on, he says, "So for clarification, Markelle Fultz has been practicing with Lakeland and should be close to returning. Jalen Suggs is healing, and his return depends on that, and the Magic will be very cautious with Isaac. J.I.'s return seems farther out." So it was really exciting to get that first tweet from Adam Shadoff from Fox 35, but then like the subsequent tweet is like, oh, well, we kind of already knew all that stuff. We knew J.I. was practicing in Lakeland. The team had already announced that Jalen was kind of returning to practice in a limited fashion with like a soft splint after fracturing the thumb. And that he was, the way that he responded to practice and treatment and everything like that was going to dictate his return. And then it is quite obvious, like the most obvious thing ever, that the Magic are being very cautious with Isaac. And we all kind of figured his return seemed a little bit further out. But then, Luke, today, we're recording this at 10 o'clock Wednesday night, about 11 hours ago, Kobe Price, new Orlando Magic beat writer for the Orlando Sentinel, was in Washington. Kobe himself is out of health and safety protocols after a little bout with COVID there. Glad to hear that he's feeling better. But he posted a couple videos to Twitter that pretty much blew up Magic Twitter today. Jalen Suggs and Jonathan Isaac in Washington on their floor getting up shots at shoot around. And then there was a second video that he posted, Markelle Fultz, Michael Carter Williams, and Etuan Moore all getting up shots during shoot around. So thoughts on that news and thoughts on the video or videos?
I did not. I mean, there's, especially after the kind of the beginning of the day, right, where it says that, you know, they're, the return of Markelle and J.I. are basically coming soon, and obviously Suggs. But after that whole thing, and then we were kind of like, well, let's dial it back a little bit. This is kind of everything we already know. And then Kobe tweets out that video. It just wasn't good for my health today, Jonathan. He tweets out the video, and I'm like, I mean, when's it happening, guys? Because J.I.'s moving. It's not game speed, obviously.
He's walking, Luke. Did you notice that?
He's walking. He's walking. Can you believe?
Can you believe it?
An NBA team brought him back to walking. It's crazy. So
they said they literally said he would never walk again. I joke about that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, especially with my bad back, I'll be doing something and people are like, "Oh, you're back." I'll be like, "Well, they said I would never walk again." They literally said, "Yeah, I would never walk again." But
okay. You have to clarify for those that don't know.
Just
that
people on Twitter.
Severe troll.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago. You know, there was a literally two second video of him taking an elongated stride in the locker room. It looked like he was just trying to get out of frame of the video.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, "Man, this guy's, he's done. He's never going to walk again. He's never going to play basketball."
Yeah.
So
he was shooting basketball,
jumping.
He was doing more than walking. He went 1 for 4 in that video, but we won't talk about it.
Come on. We're not about to get worried over guys at shoot around.
No, we're not, but some people will. So then that second video comes out, and Jonathan, there was something to be worried about in that second video.
Come on. It looks better. It does look better. We're talking about Markelle's jump shot. It is still very much a push, but I would not say that there is a hitch.
Okay,
it's just he pushes the ball really from his face and ends up at a decent release point. But
we saw the 2-on-2 video, whatever that was, right? Where in the practice gym, the practice arena, where Markelle was, I think, shooting mid range, and it looked good. It looked like fixed. And then we were saying in that in our group chat, like, well, to be fair, it wasn't like it was long range. It wasn't like it was a 3. We need to see a 3. I saw the 3 today. and I was a little irritated. But he's never.
That's not fair.
That's not fair. He was pushing.
But we've that's had not how long? Fair to be irritated. It's not his fault.
The push.
That's not. Is it unfortunate? Yes. Do we need to see more than literally one corner jump shot? Yes. Is it still a push? Yes. Does that mean he can't be at least, you know, respectable? I don't think that means that necessarily. Is it quite possible that he's never going to be a 35% three-point shooter? Yeah, it's definitely possible. But I'm not going to freak out over this one video. He's still an incredibly effective basketball player without the jump shot. The jump shot is just what takes him from a really high-level starter, potential, you know, all-star at some point, back to number one pick Markelle Fultz. So, and we just might not ever get that. We don't know. I still think it's too early to say that. We haven't seen him in a game. You know, Michael Carter Williams, you know, a few weeks ago was commenting on the Magic's Instagram post saying, "Man, I'm telling y'all, Markelle's looking different." Let's give him some game action to see what exactly Michael Carter Williams meant by that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think irritated is not the correct response to that, though.
After the hopes I let myself down.
Is it disappointing?
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe
saying,
I didn't use
the
right
verbiage. I'm not irritated.
Verbiage.
I'm just disappointed.
I'm not irritated, Jonathan. I'm just disappointed.
Listen, we got a long way to go, okay? Tonight, I mean, this might be a good segue into the Wizards game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The game ended like an hour and a half ago. But tonight especially, if Cole doesn't have it going offensively, like everyone knows that like Cole is a score first kind of guard. He's a score first kind of player. He's not exactly an organizer of the offense. Now, can he, you know, navigate the pick and roll and hit open guys? Yes. But he's not the calming presence and the, again, like offensive orchestrator that Markelle is. And I still think Markelle coming back, 35% three-point shooter or not, is going to improve this team's offense. Like, it's going to be night and day. He's got the vision. He gets, you know, anywhere he wants on the floor. He's got the size. He's got the strength. It's going to be night and day when Markelle comes back. But let's talk about this Wizards game, Luke. Guys, cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about having clean and shiny balls all year round? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to save your balls this year and make the ball drop into 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code 6TH, that's S-I-X-T-H, for 20% off plus free shipping.
And inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate nuts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2022 looks to be. A grooming routine isn't complete without applying Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver before showing off your 2022 self. These unique formulations take care of the smelliest part of your body and are a big boost to your confidence into the new year. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in their Shed Travel Bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 6TH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 6TH, S-I-X-T-H. It's new year, no pubes in 2022 with Manscaped. So tonight the Magic lose 106-112 in Washington to the Wizards. All that you need to know about this game is the Magic win the tip, okay? They miss 8 straight shots to start the game.
Read it.
In the first minute,
read
the
it.
First possession of this game, the Magic go 0-for-8. Okay, I'm gonna give you the play-by-play of the first 59 seconds of this game. Robin Lopez versus Daniel Gafford tip-off. Cole Anthony gains possession. Franz Wagner misses driving layup. Robin Lopez offensive rebound. Robin Lopez misses tip shot. Magic offensive team rebound. Franz Wagner misses hook shot. Robin Lopez, offensive rebound. Cole Anthony misses layup. Cole Anthony, offensive rebound. Chuma Okeke misses layup. Robin Lopez, offensive rebound. Robin Lopez misses tip shot. Cole Anthony, offensive rebound. Cole Anthony misses 26-foot three-point jumper. Chuma Okeke, offensive rebound. Robin Lopez misses 6-foot hook shot. Spencer Dinwiddie, defensive rebound. This, I have never seen anything like this. I am pretty sure you could count on one hand the amount of times a game has started like that in NBA history, with 8 straight misses, 7 offensive rebounds by one team.
There was that might have set a record.
It was impressive. It was impressive.
It might have set a record for the most hook shots, at least listed by ESPN in the first minute of a game, because not only did Rolo and Franz Wagner each try a hook shot, Spencer Dinwiddie makes a 7-foot hook shot by ESPN's play-by-play. So it was a hook shot kind of start, and it was terrible. And it really did set the tone for what we would see the rest of the game.
Just terrible offense tonight. The defense wasn't much worse. I mean, you get outscored 16-33 in the first quarter. And I tweeted in the group chat, was like, well, we all kind of know how this game is going to go. We're going to have a less bad second quarter. We'll be down, you know, by 10 at the half. Then we'll have a really good third quarter. We'll take the lead in the fourth, and then we'll lose the game. We had everything except taking the lead in the fourth quarter. So the Magic trimmed the lead to 9. The Magic are down 9 at halftime. Then get outscored 29-32 in the third. That was the best quarter the Magic had in terms of deficit so far in the game. And they outscore the Wizards 34-28 in the fourth quarter and just kind of come up short. Like, it was, you know, it was too little, you know, too late for the Magic. And, you know, you end up losing. What really made me upset was, like, 20 seconds left. The Wizards get the ball back. You know, you're up 6 at that point. You can just dribble the clock out. Montrezl Harrell goes down the other end, a dunk, hangs on the rim for like 4 seconds, no technical foul. You know, Magic end up losing, you know, 106-112. But I mean, look, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you know, how many times do we, you know, have to say this year that, you know, the Magic don't have enough offensive creators? They don't have someone that can really organize the offense. They can't rebound, they can't defend. Like, you start the game with a 7-rebound head start. And then I think, like, at the end of the third quarter, it was like 35-37 rebounds. The Magic were leading the Wizards. Now, you end up winning the rebound battle by 7, and that's just because of that, you know, kind of head start that you get at the beginning of the game. But Magic shoot 41% from the floor, and they let the Wizards shoot 52.4%. Cole Anthony leads all scorers for the Magic with 19 points. 6 of 17 from the floor, 2 of 8 from the three-point line. The Magic desperately needed one of those threes to fall late. And then Terrence Ross, 17 points, 6 of 15. I texted you this during the game, but it's really frustrating how Terrence Ross's entire game is just predicated on how many bad shots is he going to hit tonight. And it's not totally his fault. Like, the Wizards were all over him. You pointed out in the first half, like, how well they scouted him, because they were just throwing like double teams at him and really doing a good job denying him of getting the ball. But how many times do we just have to see Terrence Ross like shoot a, you know, fading 18-foot jumper with two guys on him and just hoping and praying that it goes in? Because that's like, that's Terrence Ross every single night right now.
Yeah, and he, to be fair, I think he thinks they're all going in because he's made a living doing that. He has made a living doing that and making those difficult shots. Still 6 of 15 tonight, 3 of 6 from 3. One thing that, I mean, if Cole did nothing else tonight, he did two things well. He got to the free throw line, shot 5 out of 6 from the free throw line, and he had a double-double with 11 rebounds. 19 points on 17 shots, I wasn't excited about that. Franz Wagner, 14 points on 16 shots. Also not excited about that. Was tonight's best player Rolo with 16 and 11 and 50% from the field?
I definitely think he was the most, obviously he was the most efficient. I mean, yeah, if you're looking at like kind of the standard that you hold certain guys to, Robin definitely came in and kind of played a bit above like his standard and what you're asking him to do on a nightly basis. Seven offensive rebounds for Rolo. Got, you know, quite a few of those in that first possession. But yeah, I mean, when you have other guys that are, you know, scoring in double figures but are doing so like inefficiently, like going down the line, you've got Chuma, 10 points on 9 shots. Franz, 14 points on 16 shots. Cole, 19 points on 17 shots. Gary, 14 points on 15 shots. Terrence, 17 points on 15 shots. Like, you're just not going to win many games like that. And you look, you know, you look at the other side of the box score. You got Kyle freaking loser Kuzma over there. I almost said Luzma Kuzma. 19 points on 11 shots. You know, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He's been, you know, he's been freaking killing the Magic.
So. Yeah. Yeah, he has been. And I will say, it's impressive that the Magic missed whatever it was, 6 or 7 shots to start the game and still end up shooting 41.5% from the field. I mean, they you take away those 6 shots, I mean, they're off. Shooting 45-46% from the field.
It was 8 shots.
It was 8? Oh, because there were 7 rebounds. Yeah, so one more shot than rebounds there. So, I mean, you take that away, they're shooting 45-46% from the field for the game. The one thing that irritated me was that the Magic did so well in terms of taking care of the ball tonight, still lose the game because they didn't force many turnovers, right? Wizards had 10 turnovers. The Magic only had 9. I feel like, I want to say they didn't have many in the second half. I feel like they had more in that first half by a large margin. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It was there in terms of like the Wizards shot 32% from 3. These are the games, man, where like you're playing like a very average Wizards team. They don't have Bradley Beal. I understand that like Kuzma's been playing really well as of late, and has been doing well this year, kind of finding his role. But I just feel like you can't get beat by just, you know, Dinwiddie and Kuzma, which it just felt like the Magic did all night.
Well, we should point out, you know, the Magic didn't have Wendell Carter Jr. tonight. They didn't have Mo Bamba. Those guys usually give a pretty big boost in terms of rebounding. But I feel like, you know,
you could argue Rolo just played played Dell's role.
Yeah.
And did it well.
Much, that's pretty so you're much really, what he did.
You're missing Mo's presence then, who, you know, you get what you get.
Sometimes you get 18 rebounds. Sometimes you get 5. You just, right. Unfortunately, you don't really know. And Luke, you know, it's disappointing because, you know, like, I think we came into the season understanding, like, some nights the Magic are just not going to have it offensively. Yeah. But, like, the last, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, it's been, oh, you know, every single night you can count on the Magic to play with a lot of energy and defend well. And we were told that coming into the season. You know, we were told that basically from Jamal Mosley's opening press conference, and we just haven't seen it. I mean, the team's one of the worst teams in the league in terms of defensive rating. And it just seems like every night it's like, oh, well, the Magic are just not really defending well tonight. I mean, who's your best defender on the floor tonight? Like maybe Franz. And as much as I love Franz and he does have
he's
great
not an
moments,
on-ball defender.
He's not quite a perimeter on-ball defender. Like he's right. Much better as like help defender, getting in the passing lanes, you know, getting deflections, things like that. And it's like, who do the Magic really have? Like even Gary Harris, who we were told was like this great perimeter defender, I just don't see it. Like, yeah. I don't see the lateral quickness. He's not a guy that averages, you know, a lot of, you know, steals per game or anything like that. So, looking at Gary Harris so far on the year, 0.9 steals per game. So, the Magic just, they need more talent right now. It's as simple as that, and it's kind of funny. You know, every time we start talking about, like, the team losing, you know, especially, like, on Twitter or something like that, we'll always get one person that's like, oh, I don't know why we're tanking. We don't need any more, like, young guys on this team. It's like, you know, what in what world do the Magic not want or need another top 3 pick? Are we looking at the same team? Like, the team clearly needs another guy.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna wave Paolo Banchero or Jabari Smith Jr. in my face, I'm taking that all day. Like give me a break. And I don't know if either of those guys is like the defensive presence that we, you know, need. We're hoping that Jonathan Isaac is gonna come back healthy and be that.
Yeah. Do you have
so many holes?
I might want to start a quick conversation here real quick. Do you have the where the Magic rank defensively right now?
Oh, in terms of like defensive rating, I can pull it up really quickly. Because last I checked, I know it's like sub 25th in the league.
So
it's really terrible.
My question to you is, and I don't remember if we've really talked about this at least lately. Obviously, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I think that's something that we can kind of get into.
25th in the league in defensive rating.
Okay, so quick topic here, maybe 5 minutes max. If the Magic have Jonathan Isaac and Markel Fultz this whole season, right? I mean, obviously, just out of they had torn ACL, so like wasn't going to ever happen. But with a fully healthy Magic roster, do you think that this team makes the play-in right now? They are 14 games out of the play-in spot.
This has become like a meme.
Yeah. So, but it's a serious question because I really don't know. I don't know. I mean, we're 14 games out. Are they 14 win difference? Which
I don't think they're in the play-in. I think they're more in like the Atlanta Hawks window.
Right,
like
outside.
Hawks right now are 17-23. Yeah, like mm-hmm. 4 games out with a chance, like, you know, going into the later part of the season as the schedule lightens up to maybe right. make a run at the play-in.
Right, because that beginning of the year schedule is obviously terrible.
Yeah, so I think if everyone is healthy, I think we're right kind of where the Hawks are right now. Even where the Hawks are, like, is kind of surprising. I think a lot of us felt like they were going to be better than 17-23 this year.
My next question, and kind of in follow-up to that, is as we talk about the ripple effect of a fully healthy roster with J.I. Markell from the get-go this year, do you think that we, and your answer can still be yes, do you think Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs perform the way they have this year without them being there? Because I think you could say that the opposite happens. If you have J.I. and Markell.
People were like, I don't want to say like memeing on me, but people were like have you ever seen the Ed like what Bassmaster or Bassmaster videos?
Yeah.
Where he's like
yeah.
Like I tweeted like I don't know, maybe a week ago mm-hmm. that when guys start to come back and get healthy, are we not going to see Franz Wagner like kind of relegated to like a third yeah. or fourth option again? Because especially when Cole was out, he was like the only guy scoring right. and looked so great. It was like, man, we really have something here. But like even since Cole has come back, we see way too many stretches of Franz just like not getting any, not even like looks, but touches down the floor. And that's really concerning. Franz is, you know, such a competitive guy. I kind of want the switch to flip in his brain of like, yo, I just need to go and get the ball and make a play right now, because that's what all the great guys do.
Yeah.
They realize the offense is lagging and they're like, I'm going to get us jump started. And Franz is the guy that I definitely think, you know, can do that, especially if he gets a mismatch with like a slower guy on him. He's getting that Euro step all day. Now, like tonight, Daniel Gafford gives the Magic problems. Like he just, it's like you have a really tough time scoring on him, which is funny because I remember him being in Chicago and Vooch just like straight daddying Daniel Gafford, like destroying the kid. He looked awful. Yeah. But no, I do think that is valid. You know, if Markell and J.I. and this, we haven't talked about this on the podcast, so let me kind of lay out, you know, just my argument with this. Cole Anthony is gonna get his looks. Like he's gonna get 17, you know,
he's
18
gonna make sure.
shot attempts. Like he's gonna make sure he's gonna get his looks, and rightfully so. And then Markell and J.I. when J.I. like came back in the bubble, scored 13 points in 7 minutes, we were all like, oh, this is different, right?
I ain't never ever.
Exactly. I ain't never seen you act like this before. Yeah. So, and same thing with Markell. Like last year, like given the opportunity, like we saw him be a bigger part of the offense to start the year. And yeah. these are both two guys that 2 summers ago just signed extensions. And if Michael Carter Williams is correct and Markell is looking different,
right.
I have a hard time believing Markell, who is, what, 23, 24 years old, was, you know, the maybe not even that old. Look that up for me, 23, 24 years old. I have a hard time of him not, like, looking around at the situation and being like, you know what, this is my opportunity. 23.
He'll be 24 in May.
So this is my opportunity to prove that I was worthy of that first pick. Because ever since Summer League of his rookie year, he has not been that guy. And he's heard it 5 billion times since then that he's a bust. And he's looking around at this roster last year, and he's like, you know what? I have an opportunity to be a, play a bigger role on this team. He sees, like, the three lead guys all get traded away, and he's got to be thinking, like, all right, I'm going to come back healthy. Mm-hmm. This is my opportunity to really make my mark in the NBA. And Jonathan Isaac, kind of the same thing. Like, they traded everyone away, and even though they had half-healed ACLs, or Jonathan Isaac, I don't know, a fifth or eighth ACL healed at the time because it's been so long, not trying to throw shade, but it has been a long time. But when they got traded, we're like, this is Markel and J.I.'s team now. That's what everyone said. I don't care who wants to come out and argue that they didn't say that. 98% of people were like, okay, it's J.I. and Markel's team now. Cole hadn't made the jump yet. We didn't know what we were getting in the draft, all that kind of stuff. And I just feel like those guys are going to want to come back and be like, no, we're, you know, two of the longest tenured players on this team. We're the guys that signed the extensions this team put their faith in, and we want to show that they were right to put their faith in us. So I definitely think there's a possibility that, like you said, if everything is kind of reversed, we don't see the fronds that we've seen this year. I also think there's a chance for him to kind of start to maybe defer a little bit when he comes back. And I'm not saying that's what I want them to do. Like, I think right now, every possession, the best option is to give Franz the ball. Right. Unless you're in a situation where it's like they're clearly going to ISO, then you give Cole the ball. He's the best guy at creating his own shot at the team. Mm-hmm. But in the flow of a game, I want the ball in Franz's hand every single play.
Yeah, and what I was going to say was the ways that I see it kind of being reversed is that I think Franz doesn't turn into this player this soon. And I think Jalen doesn't have, you know, basically the same assist-to-turnover ratio to start the year here before his injury. I think he doesn't shoot 33.5% from the field. If there's a fully healthy team, I think that, you know, I think it just has the complete opposite effect. And it's crazy to think about. But I also think that the biggest impact that it would have made is that I don't have to watch Ignas Brazdeikis for 16 games and Michael Mulder for 15 games. And I think that that's really the biggest difference, is that I think that the team would have a better record solely because you don't have to kind of get the, no disrespect, but the G Leaguers to make so many appearances and games to make up for how injured and this team has been.
It's funny because you kind of led this conversation asking about the defensive rating. And I kind of thought that is where you were going to go. So I just started thinking, like, how much better do I think this team, like, really just defensively would be if not for the injuries and everything like that, if you have a healthy Markel Fultz and Jonathan Isaac and, you know, Michael Carter Williams. So right now, sitting at 25th in the league, the Magic have a, 112.4 offensive rating. They're just 4 points better than that. They're like 15th in the league.
Right.
So, like, I think there's a outside possibility that everyone healthy, the Magic could be like a top 10 defensive rating team like the rest of the year. I know they're going to be, you know, slow to bring Markel back and especially J.I., but, like, if those guys get to the point where they're able to play like the last 15 games of the year and everyone's healthy, I think, like, the last 15 games of the year, the Magic could, like, maybe put together, like, I don't know, 5-6 game win streak and be one of the, you know, better, you know, teams in the league in terms of defensive rating. And we're just going to have to kind of wait and see on that approach. So one other thing that I wanted to bring up, Luke, is with this loss tonight to, you know, to the Wizards, the Magic have now lost 10 games in a row, which extends the longest losing streak on the season. They have now lost, 17 out of their last 19 games, just separated by kind of what we call the COVID games, you know, at Brooklyn, at Atlanta. Both of those teams were just completely decimated by COVID. And we talked about this on the episode that came out Monday, but if you look at the schedule, it's really hard to point to a game and say, like, you know what, we should have a chance to win that game. And, like, coming up, we were at Charlotte, at Dallas, versus Portland, at Philly, versus the Lakers at home, home for the Bulls, home for the Clippers, home for the Pistons, home for the Mavs, then at Chicago. That's our next 10 games, okay?
Yep.
Looking at that, the only game that I can point to and be like, you know what, we should win that, or we could win that game, is like Detroit. I'm sure we end up winning one like coming up here in the next couple of games, at least I hope. But again, there is a very small chance, but there is an outside chance that this team is going to be looking at a 20-game losing streak.
Right. And the other team that I would say that without this recent game that I'm about to refer to for this team, but I was going to say maybe you have a shot at Portland. But Portland just beat Brooklyn with Ben McLemore and Anthony Simons and Robert.
Don't forget Nasir Little, you know, diving at Kyrie's ankles.
Oh, just such a dirty play, bro. Such a dirty play. No, and I'm just kidding.
It's unfortunate. He didn't really have a real play on the ball, and you know, it definitely was reckless. Like, we've seen guys make way less dangerous plays and people still get seriously hurt.
Yeah, regardless, they beat the Nets, so I don't think the Magic could beat them. I mean, maybe if they have an off night, but Simons looks
fine. If Franz and Cole, you know, all it takes is one game of Cole and Franz getting it back in gear, and the Magic have a win. They could do that against anybody.
How much I need that in my life.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be interesting to see how long this losing streak goes.
Someone tweeted out today, and I forget who it was, but basically they had looked at, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting who it was. It was on Twitter, but they kind of looked at all of the current like win percentages and like extrapolated that out throughout the rest of the season. At least this is what I'm taking from it. And basically the Magic could go like 20 and 21 the rest of the way and probably still end up with top four lottery odds. That's how bad it's been this season, and that's kind of like how far back they are currently. So yeah. If John and Jeff's goal is to tank, which we kind of all like half jokingly suspect that is the case, they're doing a damn good job of it. Right now, They are a full three games behind the Detroit Pistons. You know, the Magic are in sole position of the worst record in the league. I'm not at the point, Luke, where I'm starting to do like, you know, the tankathon and, you know, the lottery simulator. We've been down that road. I know how it works out. And I just don't want to go into this worrying about that again this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't. I want to be pleasantly surprised. I woke up draft lottery day, you know, back in June or July, whenever that was, and I was 100% positive we were getting the number one pick.
Yeah.
And it didn't end up that way.
Well, yeah. No, it didn't. I had a whole like just rant prepared about the lottery. I'm going to save it. What I'm going to do with this time, Jonathan, I'm going to shout out Franz Wagner becoming the first Magic rookie forward to record 10 plus assists in a game. So that's your little Magic nugget for tonight. I feel like my rant about the lottery might go too long, and I'll save it.
Well, we're at 50 minutes here, Luke. I know we had, you know, maybe planned about talking some NBA stuff. Do you still want to go in that, or are you good?
I'm probably good. I think this has been a thick
guys. Grizzlies have won 10 games in a row. They're really good. And
yeah, that was our piece.
It basically is what it is. So
yep.
Go Magic, baby. We'll be back with another episode, guys, on Monday. In between now and then, the Magic are going to take on the Hornets on Friday, and then they are going to take on the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas on Saturday. That game, 9:30 Eastern. That's kind of a late one. What do you think happens there, Luke? Are we finishing the week? What is that? 0-3?
Yeah, probably.
Feels like that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's unfortunate. So. Mm-hmm. Hang in there, guys. We are just waiting on the reinforcements at this point. Just try to get through this. You know, team morale, you know, still seems to be okay, but it really feels like that could kind of go out of the window at any time. But that's going to do it for this episode. Hope you guys appreciated it. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to The Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!